And with that music comes another exciting episode of the Detroit Sports Week on the Tom Green Podcast. Welcome back. It's been 6 days. A lot has happened in the Detroit sports world. Welcome back to the show. Tom Green here, your host, Tom Green Podcast. If you're a new listener, I'm glad that you are here with us as I try to traverse the podcast ways for yet another season. As I had indicated on a couple of shows before, I want this show to gain traction by the end of this year, or else this is it for me, because this podcast got me to where I'm at now, and I'm hoping it gets me to even greater heights. So welcome to the show, everybody. So this week, we have some topics to talk about, the first of which being the Detroit Lions, because this podcast, of course, used to be just Lions previews. I decided to expand it a little bit more Detroit-centric, and of course, that's what I'm going to do for this week. So, first of all, breaking down last week's preseason victory over the Giants. I mean, again, like I said last week, it is preseason, so let's not completely overreact, but let's not completely underreact. So, first and foremost, Maurice Alexander definitely was a stud last week with a 95-yard punt return touchdown during the game against the Giants. So that was definitely impressive, I would say. It definitely helps towards your roster spot in this preseason situation, so that's definitely a stud moment. Another stud moment is the Detroit Lions crowd. Holy cow. Preseason. Let me tell you, this is the first game of the preseason. And I was, of course, I actually went down to the Detroit Lions game last week. And what's funny was on this exact show last week, I had said how much this doesn't matter unless your guy's 40 through 68, I believe I had said. I had said how much this doesn't matter, but here I was at the game. In fact, I had a fun time, of course. I met Madeline Burke from Bonjour on Prime Video and Gabrielle D. Phillips from Woodward Sports. Hope to have them both on the show. Great ladies do a great job at what they do. Gab is a rising star. Madeline has been in the business for a few years with the Giants, as well as, I believe, a year or two with Bonjour. So check them out, at Madeline Burke on Twitter, at GT Phillips on Twitter. In fact, let me double-check that. Gab Phillips, sorry, Gab Phillips, G-A-B-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S, Gab Phillips on Twitter. Follow them both, great people, and I'm glad to have been around them. So that's another, I guess, stud of the week as well. Back to the original stud that was Lions crowd. That was impressive. That felt like a regular season game, and that should tell you the atmosphere at what teams are going to be anticipating for this season. The atmosphere was close to that in the last few seasons, and even during the Jim Schwartz years. But the thing was, there was always that same old Lions drop-off. And I sort of feel that that's not happening this year, and I hope it doesn't, because this team is going to be an exciting team. I'm looking forward to it for sure. And the third stud of the week would be Lions backup quarterback Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska product. Nate Sudfeld started this game and threw a pick, and it looked really dicey for him. We can kind of call him a dud of the week. For Adrian Martinez, though, he was effective. He threw the ball down the field well. Of course, he made a couple of mistakes, so did the defense. Romeo Aquara made a mistake on a fourth down play in the first half of the game. But, I mean, it happens. It's preseason, but Adrian Martinez sling the ball well, and he may look to take that third position after Goff and Teddy Bridgewater. So those are your studs of the week for the Lions. A dud of the week, of course, the Storm. Let's talk about that. I mean, first of all, I was in the stadium when the Storm and the weather break was happening, okay? So I was probably one of the safest spots in the entire state of Michigan when it happened. But here's the deal. And here I'm going to quote an article from the Detroit News that pretty much talked about a lot of the displeasure that people had with the weather decision to split the screen into partially Detroit Lions, partially the weather report from Fox 2's Stephanie Mead. And let me tell you this, as far as this goes. I'm going to quote a tweet from Jennifer Hammond that came during the game, and this was a very good tweet. One of the stipulations of a broadcast license from the FCC is that TV stations exist to serve public interest. Meaning, news stations have to preempt programming to cover ongoing tornado warnings within their markets, or they risk losing their broadcast license. You heard that correctly. News stations have to preempt programming to cover ongoing tornado warnings within their markets, or they risk losing their broadcast license. What does that mean in plain English? Fox 2 did a favor to their viewers by going split screen. They did a favor. And the reason is, most broadcast stations, when this happens, goes directly to the warning with no outlook or outlet, no second outlet for the programming that you are watching. And it's for a good reason. I am defending Fox 2 meteorologist Stephanie Mead's decision here. Defending it 1,000%. And it's simply because of what I just said from Jennifer Hammond. They risk losing their broadcast license if they do not make that decision. So that means, had Stephanie Mead or whoever was the meteorologist at Fox 2 decided not to preempt the programming or go split screen in favor of the Lions game over a tornado warning, Fox 2 might not be a broadcast station today. So it's pretty much a no-brainer what Ms. Mead had to do. And she did a hell of a job doing it, too. I complimented her on the show. I also complimented WNEM meteorologist Chris Easlick for doing a similar job as the storm was going through Fenton as well. Prayers go out to those affected by the storms, the tornado that hit Perry, and the surrounding areas. So that is a huge deal. And I mean, a lot of Lions fans took exemption to this. I'll quote a couple of tweeters. Ben Agosta tweets, an all-time idiotic decision by Fox 2's producers. The tornado warning could have been conveyed with a bottom ticker, yet someone thought it was smart to cut the Lions game audio and have a meteorologist yap about a warning for 15-plus minutes. Ben, it was a tornado warning. They had no choice. Brittany, at Brittany Engel 1, says, this is the longest weather update. I am almost praying for a tornado to hit me. Yikes. Other fans understood the decision to interrupt the broadcast, like yours truly. Scott Warhite tweets, I credit Fox 2 for keeping the Lions in a box because they easily could have just gone full screen on weather. Tornado warnings are legit, and that is the legit truth. Definite shout out to Stephanie Mead this week on her report and Chris Easlick on his report as well. I did try reaching out to them for comment on the show. The best comment I got was not actually directed to me, but it was basically, thanks, but I'm doing my job. And that's very humble of Ms. Mead and Mr. Easlick. So thank you to that. And keep up the good work. Keep up the great reports. We appreciate that. And of course, they did their job that night. And Fox 2 did their viewers a favor by keeping the Lions on some sort of subset, whereas most broadcast stations do not do that. So I had to make that rant loud and clear on this show that the right decision was made, and credit to it. Anyway, next up, let's talk about the Detroit Tigers. I had said last week that the week before gave us hope, but nothing more than that. And this week pretty much solidified that. I was hoping for a 3-2 week. We got a 2-3 week, and we got a lucky 2-3 week because Wednesday's game, which is today, recording this show, was a complete barn burner. Reese Olson went from throwing a stud against the Twins to throwing a dud against the Twins. Yet the offense bailed him out this time. And it was a shaky ninth inning, but a shaky win and a decent win. Anytime you can beat your division opponents is always a good time. But a 2-3 week sets Detroit a little bit farther back in the standings, unfortunately. We were at 7 back at the time of the recording last week. This time we are at 8 back. So like I said, playoffs just not realistic. But I mean, there's still fire and there's still passion in this team. AJ Hinch will realize that and will make sure that the players do that. So no questions asked there. Player of the week this week has got to be Kerry Carpenter. Let's look at his last 7 games, even though 5 were played this past week, and 26 at-bats, 10 hits, 4 home runs, 5 RBIs. He had a good series in Boston. Let me tell you, a good series. I believe 3 home runs. Even in Minnesota, he backed it up with 3 hits, 1 home run. So he backed it up nicely in Minnesota. Kerry Carpenter is becoming the player that we originally thought Spencer Torkelson was going to be. And Kerry Carpenter has done a nice job in the field, at the plate. He has been a solid addition to this team, and he gets the player of the week for this week. So, good job, Kerry Carpenter. As far as the next week of baseball goes for the Detroit Tigers, 4 against Cleveland starting Thursday night, 3 against the Cubs. If it's 2016, I would be going, oh, yikes. I won't say the actual word on the air because I follow PG-13 rules, which tells me 1 usage of F and 1 usage of another swear word. Basically. So, I'm not going to violate that today. But 4 games against Cleveland, 3 games against the Cubs. Cleveland in a division fight against the Twins. Cleveland 4 games below 500. Detroit 12 below as we speak. The Cubs, though, are on a tear. Cody Bellinger, Dansby Swanson, 2 of the hottest hitters in baseball, and 2 that were on my fantasy team that unfortunately got eliminated this past week because of a Tanner Beebe quality start, a late home run by Matt Olson, and a win by Diaz, Cincinnati's closer. So, unfortunately, my reign in the Fantasy Baseball League, a league of our own, is done. But it was a good season. In fact, the commissioner really congratulated me on a nice season and said that I learned a lot and that I made some good moves and I got some respect from a lot of owners in that league. It's a tough fantasy league. Something that we may potentially bring the commissioner on and talk about a little bit at some point. But nonetheless, 4-3 would be a good week for Detroit this week, even 3-4. I mean, you've got 2 tough opponents. Anytime you face a divisional opponent on the road, it's not going to be easy. And, of course, the Cubs are on a hot streak. Anytime you face a team that's hot, look out. In fact, remember in 2014 when the Lions were looking at a playoff spot but faced a 2-win Tampa team that had conveniently won the week before? They lost to Tampa that week. The Lions, that is. I know I'm comparing apples to oranges there, but what I'm saying is facing a team when they're hot isn't always good. It's good for the team that's hot, but not necessarily your team. So somewhere around 4-3, 3-4 would be a satisfactory week for yours truly. Looking forward to Lions-Jags this week. Again, not a lot because it's preseason. I'm not going to overreact to something I see in that. Teddy Bridgewater is going to get some reps this week. Good for him. And hopefully he does well. He's going to wear number 50. So that's always cool to see. And so, but a report I have seen lately was that Jameson Williams was carted off the field. Or I believe... did he? Okay, he walked off under his own power. I'm sorry. Jameson Williams went to the locker room after pulling up whip. I believe he pulled a hammy. So that basically means he's going to be out the rest of the preseason. He should be okay for week 1, but don't quote me on that. Amon-Ra St. Brown, this is according to Pride of Detroit. Worked out his injury. Right ankle was taped. So a couple of question marks there. But it's preseason. You're not going to see them on the field the rest of the preseason. If you do, oh, yikes. Oh, yikes. So there's that. A couple things I forgot from last week's show. A reaction to Michael Renzen throwing a no-hitter after being traded from Detroit. It doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, it's very historic for Michael Renzen. Good for him. But again, it doesn't change what Scott Harris was trying to do. And that was, Scott Harris figured that he wasn't going to sign Michael Renzen after this year. So he decided to get his worth for him. I don't stand different from before he threw the no-hitter. Had he thrown the no-hitter in his last start in Detroit, it would definitely have upped his value. But again, as far as Lorenzen goes, it's nice. Congratulations, Michael Lorenzen. He will have a moment that he will never forget for the rest of his life. As far as Detroit goes, it does nothing. I mean, the trade's been made. He's gone. We got a solid prospect for him. Both sides should be happy. Okay? So really not much there. Also, thoughts and prayers go out to the Hasty family. Dan Hasty is the play-by-play radio broadcaster of the West Michigan Whitecaps. I got to meet him in April of this year. Later April of this year. Cool guy. Want to have him on the show. His mother, unfortunately, got into a tragic accident involving a semi. Again, a very tragic incident happening with Dan Hasty's mother, Kathy. My thoughts and prayers go out to them, and I hope that the road to recovery is short and strong. And I hope that things go well for the Hasty family. And it was so tragic to read. Dan, if you're listening to this, my thoughts and prayers go out to you. If ever you want to come on the show, I am more than welcome to having you on the show. Very tragic, very unfortunate, and I hope that pains for me a little bit to talk about and think about. I can't imagine what they're thinking about, too. So thoughts and prayers go out to them. Very tragic to read about. So with all that said, that is going to be your Detroit Sports Week on the Tom Green Podcast for this week. I mean, it's we are rolling towards the season. Oh, one last thing, and it was thoughts on the Petrie trade for the Red Wings. Very nice trade. I don't have the official stats in front of me, but I believe a defenseman and a pick and a draft pick was traded for Petrie. It's a nice story. It definitely is, and I hope he does well. And I am excited to see the son of Dan Petrie play on a different field in Detroit sports. Dan, of course, being a legendary pitcher for the Detroit Tigers. His son now being a Detroit Red Wing. And it's nice. It's a very good feel-good story. I hope that it turns out just like Dan Petrie did for the Detroit Tigers. So there's some of my thoughts on that. Next week, we're going to talk Lions, Panthers, Tigers, of course, and any other breaking news that comes about in the world of Detroit sports. Keep it locked in the Tom Green Podcast. If you have any questions or concerns or even want to shout out somebody on the show, you can always send me a tweet at Tom Green Pod, at TomTV23. Open. Direct messages on the podcast Twitter are open. Please no spam. If you follow me, I will follow you back as long as you are not spam. All good things here. Good vibes here at the Tom Green Podcast. And we're forging ahead towards a new football season and hockey and basketball season as well. Pistons and Red Wings will be interesting to talk about. So keep it locked. Keep it loaded. Tom Green Podcast. Always good to have you guys listening to the show. And I hope this week was enjoyable. We'll see you next week.